thank you, Lord, that you give us understanding, Lord God, through your Spirit, Lord God. And this morning, Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that everything that's in my heart, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you'll help me to communicate it clearly this morning, Lord. And Lord, we just open our hearts to hear what you have to say, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking a lot the last couple of weeks about hope and about faith. I just want to get my Bible, just in case I need it later on. And last week, Dale talked about truth and what is truth. And I've been thinking about that. And one of the things I was thinking of lately is, and it's on my heart, is, you know, we talk about names. We all have names. You know that? Each one of you have a name given to you by parents. Some of it you like. Some of it you want to go to Binnenlandse Sake, whatever. I don't know what's Binnenlandse Sake. And you want to change it to another name because you don't like it that much. But we all have a name. And in Psalm 9, verse 10, the word says, and it says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. If I bump into you in the street and I don't know you, it's difficult to put my trust in a relational point of view to say, help me with this or do this for me. But if I know you and I know Amini by name, I know what he does, I know who he is, I can ask him, I can entrust something with him. I can trust him at a level, I can trust him. And the same with God. If we don't know who he is, how can we trust him? We talked about hope, we talked about faith, we talked about truth. So who is this God? Who is he? And there's many names for him. If you do a study in the Bible, there's lots of names. In the Old Testament, I did a search on Google, found one document with about 60 names of God in the Old Testament. So I've only got like 20 minutes left till 11 o'clock, so I'm not going to go through the whole 60. I'll just pick one or two, or maybe 10. Talking about picking, I read in the week, and it's really funny, so I'm going to share this little joke with you. Just the reverend, you know, at the end of the sermon, imagine this old Methodist church in the platteland, and he walks to the back of the door and he greets everybody as they walk out. And the one church member comes and says to him, Pastor, Reverend, you must be smarter than Einstein. And the reverend says, thank you, brother. And he walks on. Like in a week, he was thinking now. The longer he was thinking about this, the longer he was thinking, why did he say I was smarter than Einstein? And at the end of the week, he said, okay, this Sunday I must ask this man what he meant. So the next Sunday morning, he stood there, he waited for the guy to come to church. And he says, listen, brother, can you remember what you said last week? He said, yeah, no, I can remember. He says, so what did you mean by the fact that I'm smarter than Einstein? And the guy says, you know what? They say, only 10 people can understand what Einstein said, but no one can understand what you said. So you must be smarter than Einstein. So hopefully this morning I'm not going to be smarter than Einstein. So what's in a name? I just want to start at the beginning. What is in a name? Because we all have names. And if you go through scripture, you'll notice that people in the Bible also have names. And some of them have gotten names for very specific reasons. So I'm just going to mention a couple so you could think about this. Keep it in the back of your mind. Eve, Genesis 3:20, there is a slide for that. She was called Eve because she was the mother of all living beings, all living people. And then Abraham, Genesis 17:5 to 6, and Sarah, Genesis 17, God comes and he actually changes their names. And if you knew that. Abraham was actually Abram, and he changes, and when he says there, I have made you a father of many nations. And what God is really doing is, he took Abraham, and he changed his name to fit into what he wanted for Abraham. He was the father of many nations, but his initial name, Abram, didn't fit that, didn't mean that. So he changed it to Abraham. And the same with Sarai. Sarai was changed to Sarah because she was the mother of all nations. So God comes and he gives people specific names for specific reasons. Now, when it comes to us and when we're born again and we know God, we even pray for kids. I don't know whether you did it. I definitely did it. I prayed for my kids and I said, God, you've given us, this is the boy, this is the girl that you've given us in the womb. What do you want us to call him? And we prayed. Ben, it was a tough one because Estelle had hicks and breaks. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's like practice contractions. So the one evening she was saying to me, listen here, you get a better come up with a name now because, you know, we're going to go into labor soon and I want the boy to be named when he gets, you know, when he sees the light. So eventually in that night, God, because I had a specific word from God that says builder of a future generation. That was the word God gave me, builder of a future generation. And I couldn't find any name that fits that word. And I was really looking everywhere. I was looking under builder and generation. I was coming up with all sorts of names that nobody could pronounce. And at one night, and that even that late that morning, it was something like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep. She was sleeping. And I was going through the back of my Bible, you know, the concordance bit. And I was just reading through, I don't know, just obviously the Holy Spirit that sort of led me to it. And I just reading through these words and looking at what it means. And I got to son in the New King James Spiritual Bible and says, son, builder of a future generation. And I just, you know, God gives us names. I'm sorry that I'm just getting emotional there. But you know, God gave my son a name for a specific reason. And the same way that he's given us names and our fathers gave us names, some of it, they didn't even know what they were doing. You know, but our names, they are powerful. And the same way that Jesus, when Jesus came, and if you come to go to the New Testament, Jesus is born, but Jesus is not, he doesn't come to earth and then God says, Mary, you're going to have this boy, and just pick a name. He gives him a name. He's deliberate. John the Baptist. God is deliberate. So when it comes to his own name, so the reason why I went through all of that, because I really want you to understand, when it comes to God's name, he's deliberate. It wasn't just one day on a blue moon that he decided and he wrote it down. And just for the sake, for those who know, it was last Friday, was a blue moon Friday. If you don't know what it is, go and Google it. So what does God say about himself? I'm going to read to you from Exodus 3:13-15. There are many other scriptures that I could read, really, and many other names. We're just going to focus on this. It's on the screen there. It says, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come and say to them, the God of our fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord Yahweh, God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. I am who I am. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? I thought about it quite a while. Because God chooses those words for very specific reasons. Because he wants to communicate to us, who is he? Who is he? Who is his God? And he says, I am who I am. Just that. I am who I am. I am Jehovah. So if you look at these three words, or three phrases, it's I am who I am comes out of that scripture. I am and Yahweh, which we pronounce Jehovah today. There wasn't any vowels in the Hebrew, so that Yahweh, as it's spelled there, is literally was in the Hebrew. So if we talk about just going back to Yahweh, coming just to Yahweh, Yahweh talks about the self-existent or the eternal God. So he's self-existent and he's eternal. If we look at the numbers of the names of God, and this is, you know, if you look at Yahweh, it's 6,218 times in the Old Testament. Do you know how many times that is? 6,218. If you say it once a day, you've got to say it for, what, a couple of years, every day. If you want to quote each scripture, every instance, 6,200 times. Elohim, 2,500 times, just for the stats. God's intent to us is to know him. And he wants to reveal to us who he is. Because at the end, we come to Psalm that I read, that because if we know who he is, we can trust in him. We can really know who he is and know that he's not going to forsake us. Know that he is faithful in our lives. Know he is the God who he says he is. So God reveals himself in the I am. I just want to focus on that this morning. I've just got a couple of minutes, so we just go through it. But I really want you to listen, because it's so simple. The name I am implies so much. If I say to you, I am, what does it mean? Well, maybe I can say to you, I am not. I no longer am. Well, then you should be worried, because you shouldn't be hearing me if I am no longer. You know, I am, first of all, starts with this thing that God exists. He is. I am who I am. I'm not the figment of man's imagination. I am. He's real. Psalm 42:2 says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. He's a living God. He's not the one that is made by hand. There are many gods in this world. Do you know that? There are thousands. Hundreds of thousands of gods. Many of them are just carvings of man. But our God is not that God carved with man, with man's hands. He's the living God. He is who he says he is. Many people say they believe in God. Do you know that? Also, we say, yeah, we believe in God. Do you know the word says that the demons believe also? The devils believe that God is? They believe in him. If you look at the face of this earth, there are so many people on this earth. How many of them actually lives as if there is a God? Not many. That's why God says that we've got this great commission to go out and tell everyone of the gospel. Because everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs to hear this message. There's only one way to eternity. There's only Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And people live as if there's no tomorrow. They live as there's no accountability. You listen to the news, what people do today. They live like they're never going to be accountable for what they're doing today. There's no judgment for them. And there's no eternity. The devil has come in and stolen our understanding of who God is. So because people think there is no God, they live as if there is no God. You know that saying? Living like there's no God. Living like there's no tomorrow. And God is really challenging us to understand who he is, because he is a great and mighty God. And if we want to, if we need to tell people of him or who he is, we need an understanding of who he is too. Because if I know somebody, it's like calling somebody to the stage and reciting a number of grad, you know, this is Dr. So-and-so with so many degrees of so-and-so. You know, there's one way of saying that and being just a reciting of the facts. There's another way of actually knowing the person and can speak on behalf of their character and who they are. God does not want us to go through life and recite things about him. He wants us to know him. He wants to know him intimately. He wants to know him so that we can be changed through knowing him. God exists. Then the other thing that I am implies, I am who I am implies in a sense, is that God says, I am. And if you look at God, there's all these questions about who is God in the world? Who is he? You know? Where does he come from? Who is before him? You know? All of us, we somewhere have a mother and a father. We can trace our gene pool. We have circumstances. We have things that happen in our life. There are things that formed us to where we are today. If we were to take those experiences and things away, we would be technically different people. If you had not met Jesus when you did, you would be a different person today. Some of us would not be alive even today, because we've gone down the tube. You misuse drugs or whatever. We're not being alive. God, that's one of the realities of God that we have to accept, and that's part of faith. That there's nothing before God. There's nothing behind him. There's nobody behind him giving him anything. God is self-sufficient. Remember what I said the first one? Jehovah, meaning self-sufficient God? He is self-sufficient. There's nothing behind him. in the sense of no other support. He is God. He alone is God. His personality and power are owing solely to himself and to no one other. He didn't derive it from somebody else. His personality didn't grow up like our personality grows. And as parents, did you know that? You can influence your kids. You can build their character. You can form their personalities. God's personality wasn't formed. He is who he says he is. And there's much debate around this. And for each of us, we have to understand this and make this decision in our hearts that we will believe God when he says who he is. I am who I am. It's as simple as that. That is faith. To believe him for who he is. The other thing about God when he says, I am who I am, is just, if somebody tells you, if you walk into a situation and the guy says, you know, he's, you know, this is the situation and whatever, then somebody will say sometimes, you know, this is just who I am, you know, this is just who I am. I'm not going to change now, you know, this is who I am. You know, I've really invested 50 years of my life to get where I am now, you know, I don't want to change. So with God, when he says, I am who I am, it also speaks about the fact that he does not change. He does not change. He is the same God in Genesis 1 that he is today. He's the same God today than 50 billion years into the future. That's why we can trust him. He's not going to change. He's never going to change. He is not subject to outside influences. Do you know we change? Well, I hope you change. If you're not changing, there's a problem. We need to change. We need to grow. We change, but God does not change. He does not change his mind. When he said that Jesus died and for by his stripes we are healed, he has not changed his mind. He still heals today. Like Uncle Danny Patford said. He does not change his mind. God does not change. We have to accept that and believe it because God does not change. He's not going to feel different about you tomorrow than he did yesterday. When he said something to you, if he gave a promise, the word says all the gifts that he gave is irrevocable. I like that word. It sounds very important. Irrevocable. But what it just means, when God has given, he gives. He doesn't take back, give it to you. He just gives. He's God. Whatever he said, he can back it up. He's not going to change. He's not going to change his thoughts about any of us and our destinies. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, for I am the Lord Yahweh, I do not change. I do not change. You know, this is a great God. When we talk about trust, trusting in a God, you know, this is awesome to me, that God is not going to change tomorrow. He's not going to change his word. He's not going to change. So I can trust every word that he's spoken is the truth and it will remain. Like the word says, every word in the word of God will remain. Nothing will pass away. The earth, the heaven and the earth will pass away, but nothing of God's word will pass away. And he's not subject to outside influence. We cannot influence him. Did you know that? His personality and his character, doesn't matter how bad we become or how good we are, we cannot influence him. You know, if we look at our lives, we have a resolve. We're going to, you know, we're going to follow God and we're going to do things and, you know, we're going to do great things for God. Then we come under pressure, you know, and sometimes we realize that our understanding wasn't so on, you know, initially. So when God says all the wealth of the world belongs to me, to him and therefore to me, it doesn't include robbing a bank, for example, which really happened in the beginning former days of this church. Not this one, but the Shofar movement. Fred preached a sermon on, you know, the fact that God has given us, and the one guy decided, well, if God has given us, surely I can take it. So he went and he took it. So, you know, with understanding, he knows all things. God knows all things. He cannot be surprised by anything. You know, our circumstances put pressure on us and we make decisions that are wrong. You know, very often the decisions you make, like in that split second under pressure, without calming down and thinking about it, those are the wrong ones. God is never under pressure to have a quick second decision and change his character and compromise who he is. He will never do that. He is the same forever and ever. which is the next scripture there, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I love this one in James 1:17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Not even a shadow. I like it. Not even a glimpse. Not even a slim. There's no God. The God we serve, the God we see in the Bible, is the God. He hasn't changed. You know, there are many denominations today that says, you know, speaking in tongues. There's so many things. We can go on and on about that. It is in the Word of God. We talk about baptism. You know, it's very simple in the Word. I can explain it to my 13-year-old son without putting out a 300-page doctrinal document. The Word of God is simple. He has not changed. We change. We change His Word. We change it to suit our doctrines. We change it to suit our political agendas. Throughout this world, it's so sad, but if you listen to some of the great preachers on the internet, you listen to what they write and say, you can hear that as Jesus said, towards the end of days, people will change their words for the people's ears. There are many today on this earth that already moved away from the truth of God and are preaching a gospel that they think people want to hear instead of preaching the gospel that is the gospel and preaching the God of the gospel. Because God has not changed. Many people say, like in the Old Testament, you know, God, there were certain instances, God wiped people. I don't know if you remember, the ground opened up and people were swallowed. God is an awesome God. Do you know in the New Testament as well, there was a king in Acts that sort of said, I am a God. People worship him in a sense and said he's great. And he said, I'm a God. And the word says God sent an angel and the worms ate the guy on the day and he died. We think that the God of the New Testament is not the God of the Old Testament. He is the God of the Old and the New Testament. And like JJ said this morning, there's a fear of God that is lacking in the church because of the simple thing. We do not know our God. We do not. We do not know who He is. He is an awesome, awesome God. God is an inexhaustible source of energy. That's the best words I can get. That means, before anything in this whole universe, excuse, ek het vergeet ons is skerm. Before this universe started, let's go back in time. God was there. So if we look now, everything, every bit of energy, every fusion, every nuclear reaction, the sun, every star. Did you know that every star is a sun? Okay, if you don't know that, go and Google it a bit. Every sun is a star. Every star is a sun. There are, at the moment, I think about 6 billion stars. They don't know, because next year they'll find a couple more. Do you know how much energy is in 6 billion stars? I would imagine quite a bit. You know, God is the source of all that power. He is the source. Do you know that there's this whole thing about energy cannot be destroyed? Einstein. Energy cannot be destroyed. It just moves from one form to another form. God is the source of all that energy throughout the universe. That's our God. He's not a Mickey Mouse God. He doesn't just look like he's not in control. You know, some people say he's not in control. You know, they mistaken. Amen. He is in control. Yeah. He is orchestrating this whole world. The devil is trying to convince us that he is doing a lot of things. I tell you, God is doing so much more. Amen. Because the devil cannot ever, ever compare to who our God is. The devil, all he can do is he can fake and lie. He can fake it till he makes it. And he does in many people's lives. But I tell you, our God is so much stronger, so much more powerful. Compared to the devil, God, or the devil compared to God is, you can't see the devil. He's not even a speck. I see as a speck. He's nuts. You know? We spend so much time, and there's so many people in Christian that we spend time in understanding the devil. We don't need time to understand the devil. We need time to understand God. If we understand who God is, God can tell us what we need to do. You know, sometimes we need to rebuke a demon, which is true, which I've seen. We do it. We rebuke demons. We cast out demons. It happens. But I don't need to spend all my life trying to understand how demons operate. I just need to know the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit tells me which demon to cast out at what point in time, and the demon goes. You know? We need to know God. He's the creator of all things, all energy. I said, right, all motion, combustion, chemical reaction, fusion, atomic bombs, everything. He's the source of it all. There's nothing else that's a source. Acts 17:28, like, in him we live and move and have our being. He's the source of everything. He cannot faint, he cannot grow weary, like the scripture on there that says, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, neither faints nor is weary, his understanding is unsearchable. He does not need ESCOM. He does not need a backup power generator when ESCOM is not moving. He does not need renewable energy, solar, wind. He doesn't need all of that. He is self-sufficient. We need all those things. He doesn't. We serve an awesome God. So when it comes to God, so what it means when he say that I am who I am, when he says that, it means that it requires from us some objectivity. Because when we look at God, unfortunately, we are subjective. I hope you've got it right, Brother Rand. Subjective. In other words, we look at God through our own feelings, our own experiences, our own circumstances, the theology that we're in. We paint a picture of who God is. But you know what? God is so much bigger than all our theology. God is so much bigger than what we think. You know, there's so many denominations out there that have built themselves a shrine around a theology. You know, it's so sad. Do you know what theology is? What it means? It means, if I remember correctly now, man's understanding of God. Is that right? I can't remember. Something like that. Man's understanding, a study of God, but effectively man's understanding of God. You know, we have missed it. We have missed it. All of us here, me inclusive, missed it because we do not know who this real God is that we serve. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And if I was psalmist there, I would have said, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we that have made him. Because many of us, even in this church today, in this world, we serve a God of our own making. We serve a God of our own understanding. And I really felt in my heart that God is challenging us to serve him for who he is. And the only way to serve him or find out who he is by spending time with him. There's no other way. We cannot, you know, there's many people with a view of God. We all have a view of God. We all have understanding. But we cannot walk in our relationship with God based on the revelation of other people. We have to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. We have to find out who God is for ourselves. Because the problem is that if we don't know God, and if we don't have a revelation of him, of who he is, because he revealed it to us, ourselves, to you and to me, it's again that analogy of speaking about somebody and listing credentials. We have no power. The people laugh at us because we don't know our God, because we don't know who he is. And it's not about the facts, it's about who is he. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's the creator of the galaxies, not the Big Bang Theory. I always think about this. What was before the Big Bang? So where does all this material and energy come from? So now I can still think about the Big Bang. Maybe it was God did a Big Bang. I don't know. I wasn't there. But the fact is, where does it come from? Nobody asked that question to the scientists. No, it was a Big Bang. All the energy were there and it expanded. So where did the energy come from? I don't know. People are stupid. We are stupid. Yeah. You know, we are so open-minded, our brains fall out. And that's the truth. You think about evolution. And the things we believe, the things we are being taught in school, our kids are being taught in school, a theory, it's a theory, which is now sold for the gospel. It's very simple, people. Evolution is a faith. Because you're believing in something. You're believing in the God of chance. So when Jesus says, you're either for me or against me. If you are for God, you believe his word. If you are against him, you're believing in something else than his word. People go around, and I've got friends who are atheists and agnostics. I always get confused with all of them. Agnostics think there's a God. They're not sure there's a God or not. Atheists say, no, they're sure there is no God. But many of them have got all these things. And then I tell them, you know what? You believe so strongly in this. Do you know where it comes from, a God of chance? Because essentially it's chance. You know, we make things up for ourselves to convince ourselves and make us feel good. God is not around to make us feel good. He's here to have his name glorified. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. We need to understand who he is for ourselves. And then the other thing about God is God says, I am who I am. He's never going to become like us. Did you know that? In a sense, Jesus came to earth once, but he's not going to become with us. He's not going to conform to us. He's going to steep down again, become like us. He's God. So what it means is we have to change. We have to conform to him. We cannot, you know, God's character cannot change, but our character can be built. Our character can change. God's personality is not going to change, but our personality, we need to be built. God needs to build into us. People around us need to speak into our lives because we are not perfect. I don't know if you've noticed that. I love this story because it's so true. I can't remember which guy said it, but the lady comes to him and says to him, listen, Pastor, this church, there's so many things that are wrong with this church. You know, I can't live with this. I'm going to go to a perfect church. You know that I visited them on the side, they're a perfect church. And then the pastor said to her, bless you, sister. Just know that when you arrive there, it's no longer a perfect church. Because you are there and you are not perfect. You know, we are not perfect, but God is. God is. God is. He is perfect. He is just. He is just. If we can understand this, that he does not step over the line. When he said something, that is it. Smith Wigglesworth, guy from the 1910s, I don't know when he was even visit South Africa, man of faith of God, he just had this simple motto, and he said, if the Bible says it, I believe it. If the Bible says it, I believe it. You know, we want to make complex theological arguments instead of just believing the word. Because God does not change. He really wants to bless us. He wants to empower us. He really wants to have us conform to his son. Like Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, many of the world, we're serving a God of our own creation, our own thought processes. God is so much greater than our thought processes and our imagination. And God is really challenging us and challenging me to serve him for years. And that means to have a relationship, be in his word, and seek him. Because the word is clear. If we seek him, we will find him. So what does it imply? If we don't seek him, we won't find him. You know, God is true to his word. He says, if you seek me, you find me. So the negative is true. If you don't seek him, you're not going to find him. You know, it's a very simple thing. Jesus talked about, you don't throw your pearls in front of the swines. So you don't throw what is precious to you in front of people that have no appreciation for it. You know, we think that God will just open up his heart to us and just, no, God is not like that. He's not going to. There's a relationship, a two-way street. When, I'm almost done. When Jesus speaks about the 10 virgins, you know the story? The 5 wise, 5 foolish. Now at the end, the 5 foolish, he says, go away because I do not know you, to the 5 foolish. And that's all that he says. I do not know you. God, we think that if we know God, a little bit of him, that we find, we're not. He needs to know us too. It implies a two-way relationship. It implies intimacy. We are selling ourselves short because we can know, have so much more. Like that song says, the presence of God, we need the presence of God. I love this. In John 8:56-58, I wish I could be there, because I tell you, the religious spirits on that day, they must have gone ballistic. It says, your father, just Jesus speaking, he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see me, see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Huh? That doesn't sound right. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Do you know what it meant for them on the day? He was saying that I am God. Every Pharisee and Sadducee within the 100K radius was up in arms, because here was a man that was equating himself to God and using the Old Testament terminology, Old Testament name, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. This is the God we're serving. The one that before Abraham was, I am. The one that created the universe. The one that's all-sufficient. The one that's eternal. That will never end to exist. That will not change. His personality will not change. You can trust him. You can trust his word. He's not going to change. If he gave you a promise, he's not going to change. He's not going to think that it's not no longer, you're no longer worthy. He's not going to change. We change. We stop believing. We walk away. God does not walk away. And we need to challenge ourselves and our minds and our thinking around who is it that our God is. Because our God is so much bigger than we make him out to be. Every disease, you know, we say today, people say, yeah, some people get healed, some people don't. You know, I look at what Jesus did. Jesus came to reveal the Father's heart. How many people that came to Jesus could Jesus not heal? How many? Any hands? Anybody don't know? How many? Zero. Jesus did not go to every sick person and say, I want to heal you. But every person that came to Jesus, he healed. That's the God we serve. Everyone, every single person. You know, there was a town, like Nazareth, I think it was Nazareth. Jesus was spent some time there. He grew up there, sorry. Last night's meal. Sorry, too much information. Jesus grew up there in this town. So he went back there. And he literally, go and read that scripture. Go and find it. Go and read it. Meditate on it. Jesus literally could not perform a miracle inside the city. He literally had to take the people outside the city and pray for them there because of the unbelief in the city. You know, there's lots of stuff happening. I tell you, there are people, and we know it. The Bible talks about it, unforgiveness and things. There was a time when I was a young Christian that one of our friend's parents got sick. And God spoke to us, to the one person, and said, you know what? Do you know why she's sick? Because she doesn't want to forgive somebody. She's got unforgiveness in her heart. We went to her, not I, some 2-3 other guys. We prayed, just prayed. She said, they challenged her, and she said, you know what? I've decided that I will not forgive that person. I will not. I will not forgive them. And she died. You know, when we are willful, but for other than that, when we willfully disobey God, there should be no one sick amongst our midst. Because God is the God as he is revealed in the Bible. Not the God that we are trying to theologically defend as to why things are happening or not happening. It's very simple. We trust in who we believe. If we believe that he's a weak God, we're going to trust in a weak God and we're going to have weak results. If we just trust in an awesome God that He is, that healed every person that ever came that came to Him. Do you know that in the Old Testament people were healed too? They had to go to the priest. There were certain things. They were healed. I love the God's heart. God, like I shared the other 2 weeks ago, Naaman, God heals a man that killed thousands and thousands of people. God does not look at what we've done. You know, if we come and repent, there's forgiveness, there's healing. It all depends on who we believe He is. Who He is. He is the I am who I am. And we have to believe the word that says He is who He is. That means that He does not change, that He's a loving God. I haven't gotten even to that. And that His precepts are true. And when He says in His word, choose life and you will have life, and choose death, otherwise you will have death. It's very simple. If you choose life, you will have life. If you choose death, you will have death. There's no doctrinal issue around it or theological debate about it. It is what God says. And we are trying to make things of God that He is not. He is true. It's like a law, the law of gravity. Doesn't matter what you do, it is there. Whether you believe it or not, jump out of a building, you're going to see that the law of gravity works for you. God is the same. Every word that He's spoken is the truth. There's not one word that He's ever said as a lie. There is no lie in Him. He is the truth. And I really want to challenge us to think about this. It's not just a sermon on a Sunday morning. Who do you believe is God? Who is your God? Who do you think is He? Is He the guy that you call out once in a blue moon, like Friday, when it was a blue moon day? When you're in trouble? Do you have a relationship with Him? I really want to challenge you. I really want to challenge us. Me too. We are going to stand before God one day. And Jesus, the word is clear. Jesus says to them, I do not know you. There's another parable that He also says, I do not know you. It's not good enough for you to think that you know God. You need to know Him. And He needs to know you. Which means it's a relationship. It's not just a one-way street. It's not just about reading a couple of books and knowing there's a God. It's a real relationship. There's real power in it. Jesus is the revelation of the Father. If you don't know who the Father is, read the Gospels. Read it 10 times. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read it 20 times. Read it 100 times. We give up. We are a consumer generation that gives up after 2 times. God does not give up. We should not either. If you don't get it right on day 2, get it right on day 3. If you don't get it right on day 3, go on until you get it right. We give up too quickly, people. We give up too quickly on one another. We give up too quickly on our neighbor, on our colleague. We need to pray. We need to trust God. This city that we are living in, as we are standing here, we are accountable before God for this city. Did you know that? Each one of us, there's no exclusion, sorry to say. We are all accountable for the city because we live here. Do you know that we are accountable before God for this country? Because we live in this country? You can't blame the ANC government and corruption. You have to pray. We have to pray. God is going to come back, I tell you, to the church. Do you know where judgment starts? In the house, in the church. That's where judgment starts. We need to prepare ourselves because God is not coming back to a church with lots of spots and blemishes. He's coming to a church which is spotless. And it's going to start, people. I know it's going to, in my spirit, I know God is going to start, and He's going to start and move. We need to know who He is. Because none of us wants to be Ananias and Sapphira that's being carried out to the back because we did not know who God is. And if you look at that scripture that JJ read, that sleep, you know, that sleep part also can be, you know, it's death. Some slept. They no longer sleep. They're no longer with us. They passed away because they did not recognize the body of Christ. God's word is the truth. We can jump up and down, but ultimately, God does not change. So if you're in a problem area, then it means you have to change. If you disagree with something in the word, it means you need to change. Because God is not going to move. He's immovable. His word is immovable. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You, Father, that You are the I am who I am. Lord God, that you do not change. Lord, that you are the all-sufficient one, the eternal God, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we can trust in you, Lord God, that we can put our hope in you, Lord God, because you are not going to change your thoughts around us, Lord God. You're not going to change your thoughts about humanity in any day, Lord God. You're not going to change your word, Lord God. You're not going to change your mind on what you said in the word, Lord God. You say, Lord God, if we call upon your name, we will be saved, Lord God. And it is true for every day that this earth exists, Father, and people on this earth, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that you are so much bigger than our imagination, Lord God. So much bigger than what we think you are, Lord God. Because, Lord God, we cannot imagine the universe, the 6 billion stars that are in there, Lord God, the 6 billion suns, Lord God. It is incomprehensible, Lord God. We cannot understand it, Lord God. It's too big for our minds. And yet, Lord, you are the source of all energy, Lord God. You are the source of all power, Lord God. And this morning, Father, we just want to come and surrender our hearts. Can I ask us to stand? And just pray after me. Not the slides. I'll leave the slides. Yeah, I'll leave the slides. Just pray after me. If you feel so. Father God, we recognize that you are the great I am who I am, that there is no one but you. You are the only true living God. And Father God, we confess that we do not know you, that we should. Because you're an amazing God, an all-powerful God. Forgive us, Father, for putting you in a box, for limiting you through our own experiences, our own understanding. Holy Spirit, please come in the name of Jesus. Come and reveal Jesus to us. The one that is the I am. Lord, we surrender our hearts. We just give and lay down every deception to you. Come and deliver us. Amen. I mean, if you need prayer in this area, I know it's late, and we run late today, but you know what? If you are struggling with your image of who God is, if you don't have the freedom to come forward, grab somebody left and right to you. It's a big thing. It's something we have to get right. We need to grow in this, our understanding of God. He's an awesome, awesome God. Amen. I